Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A young pastor and his wife were struggling on the salary of a newly called pastor. One day the pastor was reviewing some receipts that he had received, and he saw that his wife had purchased a dress for $250,000 or $50. "How could you do this?" he exclaimed. The wife, nearly in tears, explained, "Well, one minute I was standing outside looking at the dress in the window, and the next minute I was inside trying that dress on. And as I looked at myself in the mirror, it was like Satan was telling me, 'You look fabulous in that dress. Buy it, buy it.'" "Well," the pastor replied with a somewhat arrogant tone, "you know how I deal with situations like that. I say, 'Satan, get thee behind me.'" And the wife looked down and said, "Yes, that's what I said. But then Satan said, 'It looks fabulous from back here too.'" Temptation. We read about temptation in the Old Testament lesson today and the New Testament reading as well. In the Old Testament, we hear again the story of the fall of Adam and Eve. You remember that God had created two trees in the middle of the garden. One was called the tree of life. The other was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God had told them that they could eat of anything in the garden except that one tree in the very middle of the garden that was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, "If you eat from that tree, surely you will die." Our reading begins with a rather ominous statement. "Now the snake was craftier than any other living creature in the field." And Satan takes God's word and twists them a little bit to Eve to make it sound like she is going to become knowledgeable about things. She's going to know what it's like to be God. And as we know, Adam and Eve both fell for the scheme. And in the gospel lesson today, Jesus is tempted by Satan. After he was baptized, he was taken up by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the text says he was hungry, and that's certainly understandable. He was probably tired and sleepy as well. He would probably just have wanted to go home and rest. But here comes Satan immediately after those 40 days and 40 nights, and he says, "If you're really the Son of God, you can do miracles, right? Turn these stones into bread so that you can eat and satisfy yourself." Jesus responds, "We don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of God's mouth." And then Satan says, "Well, okay. Did he really say that you're the Son of God? If you are, prove it to me." And so he took him up to the temple and set him atop on a pinnacle of the temple and said, "God is going to catch you if you jump down because we know that the angels will come and take care of you." And Jesus replied, "Do not put God to the test." And then Satan took Jesus up to a mountaintop. And he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and all their majesty. And Satan said, "I can give you all that you see without all that nasty death on the cross stuff if you will just worship me." And Jesus replies, "Worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." I want you to notice a couple things here. First, I want you to notice that the devil knows the Bible. He's read it. He's studied it. And the second thing I want you to notice is that Jesus at no time uses his divine powers to resist the temptation that the devil gave to him. Well, if you've ever been on a diet, you know the issues and understand temptation. years ago, Ann had a little cartoon on the refrigerator that showed a picture of a lady in a shopping market holding her cart, looking down at a chocolate cake, saying, "I said no." I didn't understand that very well until I went on a diet with her several years later. You see, being on a diet makes you aware of what you eat and what you want to eat and what kinds of things tempt you. We are frequently tempted to take, well, just one bite. But then I'm reminded of that chip commercial that says, "I bet you just can't eat just one." And how many times do we succumb to that temptation? We eat just one and then just one more, and you know the rest of that story. There certainly are temptations everywhere. Last week I searched the internet for stories that might help me in the sermon to talk about the relationship we had with God. I struggled to find very many. This week I searched for stories that might help me describe temptation, and I found hundreds of stories. One of the things I came across was a t-shirt on a college-age male that read, "Lead us not into temptation." And then the second line went on, "Ah, who am I kidding? Follow me, I know a shortcut." We are all faced with temptations, and we all succumb at one time or another. I know what things tempt me and when I have succumbed, and I bet you that you know the things that tempt you and the times that you have succumbed as well. Perhaps it's eating too much ice cream or too much candy. Perhaps you eat too much of your favorite food. Maybe it's drinking soda that is your temptation, or perhaps Irish cream lattes are your downfall. Maybe you spend too much at the bargain basement when in fact you don't really need those things after all. Ann says that when she goes shopping, sometimes things just jump into her shopping cart. But I bet there are other temptations in your life, and perhaps those are the temptations that you really don't want to admit, or you don't like to consider, or, well, maybe you just ignore those as, well, that just, we just won't count that one. A study done several years ago in the Disciple Journal, readers were asked to rank their struggles with spiritual challenge and temptation in order, and they came up with 9: materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness, bitterness, anger, sexual lust, envy, gluttony, and lying. Every time I hear that word gluttony, I remember a time when we were on a cruise several years ago. And if you've ever been on a cruise, you know there are several places you can just go up and say, "Make me a pizza," and the guy will make you a pizza. One fellow did that. He went up and ordered apparently a pepperoni pizza. And he sat down and he picked all of the pepperoni off and threw the rest away. To me, that just exemplified gluttony. It is those kinds of temptations that we would like to forget, that we would like to totally ignore, or that we somehow justify as, well, I'll just let it go that one time. A couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, we were talking about temptation, and we talked about the sin of David and Bathsheba. As we talked about it, there were several points during which David, if he had stopped, would have not fallen into that temptation. But he didn't. Each time he could have stopped, he ignored the possibility of doing that, and he went on to the next step. The result was that Uriah died, and the baby that was born to David and Bathsheba later also died. Because of what happened in the Old Testament reading today, we know that our human powers are too frequently insufficient to overcome temptation. You see, there are two lies that Satan wants us to believe. Just once won't hurt, Satan says. Take that one chip, you can have one. Take that one drink, you can have one. But then we know that we take the second chip. And then Satan says, geez, I'm really sorry. Now that you've ruined your life, now that you've had that one chip, now that you're beyond God's help anyway, you might as well keep on sinning and enjoy it. Well, that's what Charles Spurgeon said, and I think those are good points for us to remember. When we are tempted, we are seeking happiness. Something or someone persuades us that if we do something, we will be happier somehow. Because we all want to be happy. And then we give in. Satan convinced Eve that she would be happier if she ate that apple. Because after all, the apple looked good, the tree was pretty to look at, and I bet that apple probably tasted pretty good. And Adam and Eve were perhaps happy for a few minutes, maybe for a few hours, but then suddenly they realize they are naked. And so they know they have to hide from God. You see, they didn't understand the long-term consequences of falling into that temptation. They didn't believe that God's command was to protect them and keep them safe from harm. They wanted to be like God and know what He knew. And when they found out what God knew, they didn't like it. In Ecclesiastes, we read, "The eye is never tired of seeing, and the ear is never filled with hearing." And in Peter, we read, "Beloved, do not be surprised when a fiery trial comes upon you and puts you to the test, as though something strange were happening to you." And he goes on to say, "In the hope of eternal life you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." We all experience those temptations. We all experience those trials. In Romans, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue to give in to temptation that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died into temptation and sin still live in it?" You see, God never puts temptation directly in front of us. He may test us. He tested Jesus in the gospel lesson today. He tested Job in that Old Testament book. And we too are tested. We are all subject to trials and tribulations and temptations, and they are just inevitable. We can't avoid them. In James, he says, "But believers should count it, trials and temptations, all joy, for they are strengthened," Christians, "are strengthened by those trials and temptations." And he also says, "Happy is the one who endures testing, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to him in love." So, my friends, do not be surprised when temptations come your way. They'll come knocking on your door. They'll come knocking frequently, and they'll come knocking loudly. And when they come, that's the time to remember that you have that close relationship with God. That close relationship that we talked about last week. With that relationship, you will then be able to look away from that temptation. You will be able to persevere yourself through those trials and temptations. With that relationship, you will be able to face the temptation knowing that you are not alone. With that relationship, you will be able to hear God's voice, and it will be encouraging you and giving you strength to resist. With that relationship, you will able to still be able to hear God's still small voice that is encouraging you and saying, "Be gone, get behind me, Satan. I am a child of God. I have the hope of eternal life." Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.